You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, June 26, 2016, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Have you ever wondered if you're a reluctant disciple? I know I have. Many years ago, when I was a good Presbyterian, a first-year student at Princeton Seminary in New Jersey, I found myself standing before a gathering of approximately 200 elders representing 50 or more churches that constituted the Presbytery of Seattle. I was among several seminarians that were asked to give an update regarding our progress towards ordination and discerning our calls as Christian leaders. Needless to say, I was a bit nervous and, yes, intimidated. As I prayed, all I could hear the Holy Spirit whispering to me was, "Whatever you say, tell the truth." And so I did. It went something like this. Every day that I'm in New Jersey, I pray a short prayer. "God, send me anywhere, anywhere at all, as long as it is in the beautiful Pacific Northwest." I've been dying to say this, and today cooperated, so there you go. And of course, there was a little bit of a pause, then there's a roaring laughter on their part, and then a loud amen. In today's gospel lesson from Luke, Jesus meets several reluctant would-be disciples on the way to Jerusalem. It begins with James and John, two of the original 12 disciples, the hot-headed sons of thunder, who really should have known better as they had spent the most time with Jesus. True, they had their feelings hurt. They were angry after being refused hospitality by a Samaritan village. But Jesus' way is not the way of violence. Backstory here, centuries earlier, the Syrians had come into this region and they had taken most of the Jews into captivity. The Jews that remained, was that an amen? We'll try it again. Centuries earlier, the Syrians had come into the region and they had taken most of the Jews into captivity. And the Jews left behind in the region of Samaria, they began to intermarry. And within the different religions, they began to They still saw themselves as Samaritan Jews, but they had incorporated other religious practices. Let's keep that short, I think. And then when the Jews came back from captivity that the Assyrians had taken, then they wanted to rebuild the temple. And of course, the Samaritan community, they were a little ambivalent, but they said, okay, we'll help. And then, of course, their help was rejected. And then the Samaritans created a rival center of worship at Mount Gerizim, and it sounds very modern, right? And then so forth and so forth. And then the walls were built. So back to James and John. They weren't really so bad, right? Because there was a long history of violence and rejection between these two groups. But still, the Lord rebukes them. When they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? And Jesus sharply rebukes them. And he says, there's a better way. When you're rejected, you are to shake the dust off your feet and move on. In this case, they moved on to another village. We know from the book of Acts that Jesus sends disciples back to Samaria. So he did not give up on them. So if we're going to be Jesus' true disciples, we need to know how to handle rejection and differences without resorting to conflict and violence that's unhealthy. And this issue, of course, could not be more alive than it is in our present age, in our culture right now. So rejection, it's a universal experience. The Apostle Paul calls this the works of the flesh, when we get enmity and all of these different things going on in our minds that justify getting back at people. We will certainly be rejected in this life. But more importantly, Jesus wants us to keep our track on the way of God's kingdom. What is that kingdom like? It is a kingdom that is known by the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. Patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Along the road to Jerusalem, Jesus meets some other reluctant disciples. Let's take a look at those. One disciple says, he says to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And of course, I would call this reluctant disciple the wherever man, or we can use our imagination, the wherever woman. And of course, I feel a fond admiration for him. I recognize him in myself. Perhaps you do too. This is the disciple who initially is eager to make the commitment to follow Jesus, but begins to have cold feet when the cost of discipleship becomes too high. Jesus calls wherever man out by saying to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. His big wherever is met by Jesus' nowhere. He was doing his own version of send me wherever as long as it's in the Pacific Northwest. Jesus was curt in responding to him. Wherever man, are you really ready to rough it after you start following me? We're not staying in the Holiday Inn, you know. And I just have to put this in for all of you who are going on that Skagit Valley mission team. I hope you're listening. Jesus frequently calls us to uncomfortable discipleship, but there's always grace. And then thirdly, the next type of reluctant disciple to consider from today's story is the one that said, Lord, let me go and bury my father. His reluctance to follow Jesus, at least immediately, is not only understandable, it's commendable. In the ancient Middle East, the phrase to bury one's father refers to the commitment that a son or daughter has to remain at home and care for one's parents until they have died and are laid to rest. This is a tricky type of reluctance because there's so much good mixed in it. On the one hand, we need to respect and honor our commitments and responsibilities to care for our family members, especially in their hour of need. In our society right now, there are too many examples of how individuals have placed their own personal achievement and success ahead of their responsibilities for taking care of aging parents and vulnerable adults and even children. However, on the other hand, if we're not careful, we can let all of our duties, all of our responsibilities to take care of others get in the way of discerning God's will for our lives. We can easily then descend into a place of resentment and burnout. It is so important to remember that when we follow Jesus, no matter what, how rough the road is, he's taking us further into the kingdom. And again, that kingdom is a place where the fruits of the Spirit reign. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we're not able to consistently manifest these fruits in our discipleship, it is likely that God is asking us to re-examine our call or ask for more help from others, especially the body of Christ, which of course is all of us. So we now go further on that road to Jerusalem. Lastly, we have one more type of reluctant disciple to emerge. I will call him the disciple who first needed to say goodbye. Like the dutiful son and the dutiful daughter, this type of reluctance is not only understandable, again, it is commendable. I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Isn't this how we've all been taught to do the respectful thing when we're children, for example, to make sure that we take care of family responsibilities, our chores, and then also taking the advice of parents and authority figures in our lives, looking for their approval, maybe their guidance. Although it's uncertain how old this would-be disciple is in our particular story, I would like to encourage you to imagine this is a young adult who feels a need to go on his or her journey of adventure and is trying to get permission from his or her parents. In ancient times, this would have been a greater likelihood because family needs almost always were precedent over individual needs. Think of a time that you passionately wanted to follow a path or a call from God, but were reluctant to do so because powerful people in your life wouldn't approve of it or wouldn't give you support. Ultimately, we have to do what is pleasing in God's eyes. I think Jesus' response to the disciple who needed first to say goodbye is fascinating. No one who puts a hand to a plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Seeing as most of us don't use a plow in our everyday life, a modern translation of the metaphor could be something like this. It would be dangerous to be turning around and looking in the back rear window of your car while driving on 405. You would very quickly lose sight of your direction. You would likely swerve off the road and maybe worse, crash. So I believe Jesus is saying that even in very good things like saying goodbye to family or getting their buy-in before you take off an adventure, all these good things, if we're not careful, can keep us from responding faithfully to God's call. And so today we remember and celebrate all of God's reluctant disciples, all of us, the seasoned veterans and the new recruits, the procrastinators and the excuse makers, the overanalyzers and the impulsive, the overachievers and the underachievers, the foolishly courageous and the cowardly avoidant. God blesses all of us and calls us to be his disciples. And yes, God, send us anywhere and everywhere, dear Lord, as long as it's in the beautiful Pacific Northwest.
Amen.
Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.